WILL Agricultural Programming is supported by Farm Credit Illinois, home to a team dedicated to helping farm families succeed by providing reliable, consistent credit and trained crop insurance expertise. More information available at farmcreditil.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 31st day of July 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. It's the last trading day of the year. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. A bit later in the program, we'll discuss the crop progress and condition report as released yesterday afternoon for the United States Department of Agriculture. We'll hear from Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the weather forecast and take an in-depth look at the news for the day as well, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the prices in Chicago at the CME Group as futures went into the closing minutes for the afternoon. As I'm traveling in Fargo, North Dakota today, $3.73 for the September corn, up 3.5 cents. December going into the close at 3.85, up 3.75. March at 3.95, 3.25 higher. And July at 4.05, up 3 cents for the day. August soybeans up 25.5 at $9.5. September at 9.05.5, up 24.75. November soybeans 24.75 higher at 9.15.75, and January at 9.25.75 up 24.25 cents. Next year's May contract in the bean pit up 24. Again, this going into the close at $9.44. The bean oil up 37 cents at 28.68. Bean meal at 3.41.10, up $7.20. Wheat futures soft red September 5.47.5 higher. A March contract at 5.82.25, up a half as well. And next year's July at 5.89.25, up a penny and 3/4, all for the soft red. The hard red July at $6.75. Up 2.75 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract at 108.25. That's down 40 cents in the August. Feeder cattle for the August at 149.20, down $2.30 for the afternoon. September at 149.32.5, $2.25 higher. And the August lean hogs at $61.15 per 100 pounds, down $2.15. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Look us up, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can find all of our agricultural programming in its entirety. Here's what some of the other markets look like in the 1 o'clock hour. Crude oil for the day at $68.98 a barrel, about $1.13 lower. Ethanol futures at $1.45, 0.3 cents lower for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.14 and a tenth, down 3 cents. And gasoline off 2 and a tenth at $2.13 and 9 cents. That's the wholesale price of gasoline. Natural gas is about 3 cents higher at $2.80 for the afternoon. Dow Jones Industrial Average around 158 points higher at 25,443, 94.315 as the U.S. dollar index up 0.204. And gold futures for the day at $1,223.60, up $2.30. Here's the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Scattered showers and thunderstorms all before 1 a.m. Then a few isolated showers between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. Some patchy fog out there after 4 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low 59 overnight. North winds at 3 to 6. Chance of precipitation set at 30%. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers between 7 and 1. Then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Patchy fog before 7 a.m. Otherwise, mostly sunny. A high of 81 on a west-northwest wind at 3 to 6. The chance of rainfall during the day Wednesday set at just 20%. Wednesday night, mostly clear and 62. Thursday, sunny and 86. Thursday night, clear and 64. And on Friday, it'll be sunny, a high of 87 degrees.
Support comes from World Harvest Foods and Strawberry Fields Cafe, 306 West Springfield in Urbana. World Harvest provides a wide array of international foods, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, pastas, and chocolates from Argentina, Egypt, England, Morocco, and more. World Harvest gives Champaign-Urbana a taste of the world.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Hey, Wayne, thanks for being with us.
Well, great to be here.
Hey, so what a day in Chicago. Why is it that soybeans rallied?
Well, there was leaked that there was negotiations to negotiate again with China and to maybe set up dates where there could be some face-to-face meetings. And I think that, along with the weather forecast, Drew Lerner stuck out a special edition. Extra month of summer may hurt the crop. We were up before the break, and then right before the break, there was the news that broke that there was talks about getting back together again. And I think that's really pushed the beans up here. You know, they're going to close up about 27.5 cents here today. So that was just lots of good hope that way. And of course, along with that, you throw in the technical points. They broke through a lot of those. And if we look here, you know, today's the last day of the month. We're going to look at some monthly reversals here and some trend changes for closing over the 40 and 50-day moving averages in a lot of these things. So a lot of technical points and weather and Chinese news.
Yeah, corn, soybeans, and wheat all finished the month higher. That should be good news going into the marketplace. But I am a little concerned that the soybeans rallied on a rumor to renegotiate or to begin negotiations rather than actual negotiations. Do we think we'll have follow-through, or can we see that based on the hot weather, I'm sure, that Drew is talking about starting next week?
I you know, that's the big question is, you know, we did change some technical trends here today, but we might see a little bit of enthusiasm being pulled from the market if we don't get some dates or some more news following through with this. It's going to take some more leaks saying that there's some substantial talk of when they can get together, and then down the road the next day we'll have to have some more news. Those bulls love to be fed.
And do we have an idea of what kind of targets there are on the upside at this point, and are they very far away?
Well, of course, you know, as we looked here, the November beans, the 915 was the Fibonacci point that they thought they could go back up to. You know, we're going to close around the 919 area today, so we're through that. Does that, you know, as we look at technical points, that does open us up for another 20 cents. The 950 is the next shot I'm looking at here for the beans if they can continue to roll. As far as the corn here, of course, the December got as high as 388, the 390, of course, but the $4 is the big number to see if we can break through on that one, of course. So that's what we're looking at. But the you know, the wild card out there has been the wheat. It's, you know, very strong. We keep hearing about Miller's short wheat and new tenders and higher basis levels all across Europe on that. So the wheat at 554 on the September here, you know, they're saying that it could project up to that, another 20 cents higher in the wheat, and then look at more from that if we can continue to go and continue to have problems.
And the other thought in my mind is that coming up not very long from now, the 10th of August, USDA will bring out its first crop production report. However, based on what conditions are like today, not what we'll see in another week or so. So that could be a dampening effect, I think.
Oh, I would think so. This one is generally, you know, done on population and ear count and stuff that way, and we've got tremendously good population. The idea of the hot, dry weather is that we will see the test weight maybe not develop as much, but the ears will still be there to count. So we could see a bigger number in this August report than what a lot of people might be looking for.
Hey, thanks much, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, it looks like the NAFTA talks may be underway again, though Canada is somewhat on the sidelines. Today, top officials from Mexico and the United States are meeting after emerging from discussions last week with plausible optimism. The new mood seems to be motivated at least in part by the elections, the end of the Mexican presidential campaign, and the coming U.S. midterms, which has sparked a White House push to have modest progress to brag about on the campaign trail. Washington hopes that the easy talks with Mexico could pressure Canada into making some concessions, though it's not clear that Canada is ready to negotiate. You know, that aid package that was announced by the United States Department of Agriculture and the Trump administration last week, the $12 billion to offset harm by the trade policies of the administration, could be ready to go by October. That, according to Secretary Sonny Perdue. While in Argentina, as part of the G20 meeting of agriculture ministers, Perdue told Reuters the aid package could have payments reaching farmers by late September. The plan would include between $7 billion and $8 billion in direct cash relief, as the Department of Agriculture expects U.S. farmers to take an $11 billion hit due to the retaliatory tariffs after Washington placed duties on Chinese goods. However, Perdue cautioned, obviously, this is not going to make farmers whole. Checks will go out to farmers as soon as they prove their yields, according to Perdue, who says the yields will be based on actual production, not historical averages. We'll stick with trade and the Secretary of Agriculture for the moment. There seems to be a difference of opinion on whether a recent agreement between the United States and the EU, we talked about that last week, to negotiate reduced trade barriers will include agriculture. Gary Crawford has more.
At the G20 meetings in Buenos Aires, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue had what he called
good productive conversations there with the EU regarding how we could follow up on the announcement from President Trump and President Juncker this past week.
We agreed to work together towards zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers.
But a spokesperson from the European Union said Friday agriculture was not part of those negotiations. Perdue's response?
Frankly, that's not keeping with our understanding.
Perdue in Puerto Rico Monday told reporters the EU might want to keep agriculture out of the discussions, but they should be included.
And certainly our USCR representative, Ambassador Lighthizer, definitely plan to make agriculture a topic within these discussions that are going forward.
Our view is that we are negotiating about agriculture, period.
There are many trade issues to settle between the U.S. and the EU. Perdue says, though,
for us, that includes agriculture.
In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
So, for the United States, the coming negotiations with the European Union will include agriculture, but clearly that's not how the EU sees it. One other note on trade is related to both the EU visit to Washington, D.C. last week and the G20 meeting that just took place in Argentina. It appears reform of the agricultural framework of the WTO, or the World Trade Organization, is on the block. Again, here's Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue.
Most of the conversation had to do with the enforcement of the things like the OIE and the standards that we have agreed upon based on sound science. Many countries follow those and some choose to ignore them. And what we were trying to determine is how we can make the WTO more of an organization that truly guides international trade the way it was intended.
In a statement, the G20 ag ministers say they are concerned about the increased use of protectionistic, non-tariff trade barriers, but failed to lay out a plan of action to deal with them. And finally today, the United States and China, as we've already discussed, are trying to restart talks aimed at averting a full-blown trade war between the world's two largest economies. This, according to two people familiar with the effort, reports Reuters. Representatives of the U.S. Secretary of Treasury and of the Vice Premier of China are having private conversations as they look for ways to re-engage in negotiations, according to the people who spoke about the deliberations on condition of anonymity. They cautioned that a specific timetable, the issues to be discussed, and the format for talks aren't finalized, but added there was an agreement among the principals that more talks need to take place. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday the 29th, 91% of the corn crop around the nation had silked. 82% is the rolling five-year average. 38% of that crop is now in the dough stage. 20% the rolling five-year average. And it's considered to be in 50% good and 22% excellent condition. That's exactly the same as those two ratings last week. 86% of the soybeans across the nation are blooming. 77% is the rolling five-year average. 60% of the crop has set pods. 41% the rolling five-year average. And Soybeans are in 53% good and 17% excellent condition. That's the same when you add them up as last week, but last week it was 52 and 18, so soybeans not in quite as good a condition this week as they were last. Now, here are the statisticians from across the Midwest with updates from their regions.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office. Iowa farmers had 6.3 days suitable for field work last week. Activities for the week included harvesting hay and oats for grain, applying chemicals, and moving grain. Topsoil moisture levels rated 5% very short, 20% short, 71% adequate, and 4% surplus. Floodwaters continued to recede in northwest and north central Iowa, while subsoil moisture levels rated short to very short remain above 70% in south central and southeastern Iowa. 96% of the corn crop is silked, 10 days ahead of last year and 2 weeks ahead of the 5-year average. 31% of the corn crop has reached the dough stage or beyond, 5 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. Corn condition rated 78% good to excellent. 90% of the soybean crop was blooming, with 63% setting pods, 6 days ahead of last year and 8 days ahead of the average. Soybean condition rated 77% good to excellent. 97% of the oat crop was turning color or beyond, with 61% of the crop harvested for grain. The second cutting of alfalfa hay reached 93% complete, 11 days ahead of the average. Pasture conditions declined to 54% rated good to excellent. Cooler temperatures improved livestock conditions. However, drought conditions in the southern one-third of the state caused some cattle producers to rotate pasture and haul water. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Cooler than normal temperatures continued across Illinois last week, and most of the state had below normal rainfall. A weather system moved across central Illinois late on Sunday to provide rainfall to a large portion of crops in the state. The impact of that system is not included in this report. There was an average of 6.3 days suitable for field work around Illinois last week. Topsoil moisture declined and is now rated 5% very short, 22 short, 69 adequate, and 4% surplus, which is drier than the previous week. 64% of Illinois corn acres have reached the dough stage or beyond. That compares to 32% 1 year ago and 30% for the 5-year average. 6% of acres have reached the dent stage compared to 1% normally. The condition of the corn crop in Illinois was rated as 5% very poor to poor, 15% fair, and 80% good to excellent, slightly worse than 1 week ago. The Illinois soybean crop is now blooming on 92% of acres, compared to 86% 1 year ago and 80% normally. 77% of acres are now setting pods, compared to 41% normally. The condition of the Illinois soybean crop was rated 7% very poor to poor, 18% fair, and 75% good to excellent, down slightly from 1 week ago. In other crops, the third cutting of alfalfa hay is now 36% finished, compared to 14% for the 5-year average. 56% of sorghum acres have headed, compared to 49% normally, and 12% of sorghum acres are now turning color. Pasture conditions were rated 16% very poor to poor, 34% fair, and 50% good to excellent, down from 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Mostly dry, cool weather during the week allowed for 5.5 days suitable for field work. Field activities for the week included spraying, cutting hay, and small grain harvest. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 3% very short, 9% short, 72% adequate, and 16% surplus. 92% of the corn crop was in or beyond the silking stage, remaining 1 week ahead of the 5-year average. 23% of the corn had reached the dough stage, that's 5 days ahead of average. Corn crop conditions rated 79% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 88%, that's 4 days ahead of average. 59% of soybeans were setting pods, that's 6 days ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 75% good to excellent. 89% of the spring wheat was coloring or beyond, that's 3 days ahead of last year. There were scattered reports of spring wheat harvest. Spring wheat condition rated 84% good to excellent. Oats were 90% in or beyond the coloring stage, that's 5 days ahead of average. 15% of the oat for grain had been harvested. Hold condition rated 77% good to excellence. Barley coloring or beyond reached 91% with 5% harvested. Barley condition rated 85% good to excellence. 75% of the dryable bean crop was blooming with 41% setting pods. Dryable bean condition rated 83% good to excellence. Sunflower condition rated 76% good to excellent. Potato condition was 95% good to excellent. And sugar beet condition was rated 76% good to excellent. The second cutting of alfalfa hay was 90% complete, 1 day behind last year, but 1 week ahead of average. All hay condition rated 78% good to excellent. Pasture conditions were rated 71% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Stephen Dothage with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. With the Indiana Crop and Weather Report, minimal isolated rain events last week brought cooler temperatures, but did little to restore soil moisture. Average temperatures range from 67 to 76 degrees, and from 1 to 8 degrees below normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 1.47 inches. The residual moisture and cooler weather during the week helped keep soil moisture adequate in most parts of the state, despite very little rainfall. Corn and soybeans weathered the dry week well, with few reports of fields showing drought stress. The mild weather allowed farmers to make progress baling hay and harvesting mint. Livestock were reported to be in good condition thanks to the cooler temperatures. Other activities for the week included hauling grain, spraying herbicides and fungicides, mowing roadsides, and attending county fairs. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Stephen Dothage reporting.
This is the USDA's Missouri Crop Progress Report for the week ending July 29th. After 12 weeks in a row of above normal temperatures, Missouri temperatures last week cooled to below normal. The average temperature statewide was 74.1 degrees, 3.3 degrees cooler than normal. The average statewide precipitation was 0.19 inches, 0.8 inches below normal. Though much of the state recorded some precipitation, most areas received less than a half inch. The area of Missouri in drought intensified somewhat according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. As of July 26th, 18% of the state was in a stage 1 or moderate drought, 16% of the state was in a stage 2 or severe drought, and 16% of the state, all in northern Missouri, was in a stage 3 or extreme drought. Looking at the crops individually, 73% of corn had reached the dough stage, 31 points ahead of the 5-year average for this time of year. 12% of corn was in the dense stage, 5 points ahead of average. Corn condition was rated 12% very poor, 19% poor, 36% fair, 28% good, and 5% excellent. 78% of soybeans reported blooming, 22 points ahead of average. 43% of soybeans were setting pods, 21 points ahead of average. Soybean condition was rated 7% very poor, 18% poor, 35% fair, 35% good, and 5% excellent. Rice was 51% headed, 9 points ahead of average. Rice condition was rated 10% poor, 17% fair, 49% good, and 24% excellent. 97% of cotton was setting bolls, 56 points ahead of average. Cotton condition was rated 5% poor, 31% fair, 53% good, and 11% excellent. Sorghum was 59% headed, 10 points ahead of average. Sorghum condition was rated 1% very poor, 20% poor, 41% fair, 35% good, and 3% excellent. The third cutting of alfalfa hay was 36% finished, 13 points ahead of average. Hay supply rose 3 points to 19% adequate to surplus. Stock water supplies rose 1 point to 48% adequate to surplus. This is Bob Guarino with the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation.
It's National Raspberry Cake Day. In medieval Europe, wild raspberries were considered medicinal. When settlers from Europe arrived in America, they found the natives already eating and drying berries. On this day in agricultural history in 1790, the first U.S. patent was granted to Samuel Hopkins of Vermont. The patent was for a process for producing potash and pearl ashes. Potash was used in soap and fertilizer. Pearl ashes were used in baking. It produced carbon dioxide gas in dough used in the first quick breads. By the way, the patent was signed by President George Washington. In 1859, Theobald Smith was born. An American microbiologist, he linked Texas cattle fever with a parasite spread by blood-sucking ticks. In 1921, there were reports that it rained frogs in Sterling, Connecticut. And in 1923, Stephanie Kwolek was born. An American chemist, she created a new high-performance fiber, a liquid polymer that, after being spun, was five times stronger than steel with half the density of fiberglass. Kevlar today is used to make, among other things, rope, gloves, and building materials. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support comes from World Harvest Foods and Strawberry Fields Cafe, 306 West Springfield in Urbana. World Harvest provides a wide array of international foods, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, pastas, and chocolates from Argentina, Egypt, England, Morocco, and more. World Harvest gives Champaign Urbana a taste of the world.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Usually at this hour, we talk with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. However, he is out of the office on short notice this afternoon, so we'll bring you through the update of the weather forecast for the growing regions across the Midwest on our own, starting in Iowa. In Des Moines, where we'll center our look, today they'll go to 88 and 91 on Wednesday. Thursday, 86. And 96 on Friday. It'll be dry through that period. Their lows will be in the 60s, very low 60s. And then starting Saturday, things really begin to heat up, 95, 97, 101 and 102 degrees on Monday and Tuesday of next week. It'll be windy during that time frame, the lows in the mid to upper 70s, even on Monday, only down to 82 degrees in Des Moines, Iowa. For Illinois, centered in Springfield, the second largest corn producing state in the nation, 70 today, 83, 86, 86, and 85 by the time we get to Saturday. Do we get warmer over the weekend, at least in Springfield? Not as much. 86 on Sunday, Monday and Tuesday at 91. Our lows are in the low to upper 50s, low 60s, that is, to upper 50s, and then we'll get into the low 70s to the upper 60s by the time we get to the weekend in Springfield, Illinois. Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the third largest corn-producing state in the nation. 84 today, 90, 90, 97 on Friday, 90 Saturday, 96 Sunday. Here come the big temps, 98 on Monday and Tuesday, 101 degrees, and their lows, 57 tonight, 64 Thursday, 76 Saturday, 80 on Monday night, and 82 on Tuesday evening. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, 86 today, 79, 79, 92, 91, 90. Monday and Tuesday next week, 92 and 96, as that heat builds into the northwestern portion of the Corn Belt. Their lows in the 60s over the next couple of days, drop into the 50s Thursday, and then they come back up Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. 80 degrees for the low overnight Saturday in Minneapolis, 77 on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday in the mid-70s. That for Minneapolis, Minnesota, and their overnight lows. And when you look out to Kansas, the fifth largest corn-producing state of the nation, 85 today, 90, 94, 95, 92 Saturday, Sunday, 96, Monday, 99 degrees, 100-degree temperature on Tuesday. And their lows do the same thing as the rest of that western Corn Belt, 58 tonight, 57 on Wednesday. On Friday, 64, Sunday, 77, Monday evening, 77. and Tuesday just a low of 80 degrees. That's a look at the weather forecast for the bulk of the Corn Belt. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming that you can listen to anytime you'd like on demand. Again, that's willag.org. You can also find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, the Google Play Store, look us up in Stitcher, and by using the NPR One app. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.